Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
For the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, November the 18th, we'll respond to some of your comments and your thoughts from the Issues Etc. comment line. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for November is a CD of the text of over 60 sermons. What makes it unique is this. It is preaching through the Old Testament according to the church year. A sermon for every Sunday. It's called The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year by Dr. Ken Sherb, a regular guest here on the program. If you'd like to find out more about this, we've got it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call and order The Old Testament Collection by Dr. Ken Sherb from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. We're going to the Issues Etc. comment line. It's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for your thoughts, your comments, your criticism, your show suggestions, whatever you want to say to us. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. First, from the Issues Etc. comment line, some thoughts about the election of New York Archbishop Timothy Dolan as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Hi, this is Lance in New York. I just wanted to call to draw your attention. You've probably seen this already, but for anyone who didn't, that Archbishop Dolan from the New York Diocese was elected to the presidency of the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops. And I wanted to note that there's some similarities here between this election and our recent election in the LCMS that might be striking to some people. The opponent he defeated in the election, first name is Gerald, and his last name begins with a K. Also, in the New York Times article describing this election published on November 16th, I'll just read from that briefly, where it says that the bishops also set a decidedly conservative direction this year in their choice. And then the article also goes on to say that speaking of Archbishop Dolan's strength, Bishop Salvatore J. Cordeleone of Oakland said, "Not that many people can combine that intellectual depth and that jolly, outgoing personality." Again, I think that might seem familiar to some people. And it also points out that Dolan has been chairman for 3 years of Catholic Relief Services, the Bishop's Charity Arm, and that he traveled to Haiti several times after the earthquake in January to observe the church's relief efforts there. Again, I think there might be some similarities here with the recent election of Matthew Harrison, and I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, the similarities are uncanny. Of course, I've been asked by several people whether or not I think this represents a trend. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod elects someone who is of great intellectual depth, of a decidedly conservative and confessional character in the Lutheran stripe, and is a tremendous communicator with the same kind of jolly, congenial demeanor. And then it happens there in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Others have noted some other occurrences. Is it a trend? I don't know if it's a trend, but I do know that we have bred a generation of people in the Catholic Church, in the Lutheran Church, in every denomination, non-denomination, whether we realize it or not, we're starving for something historic, authentic, real, and something that has been around longer than they have. And what we've bred this generation by giving them everything transient, everything new, everything faddish. And what do we expect when this generation comes out and says, we're tired of things that always change, that are so hyped, that are so overmarketed. We want something historic, authentic, and especially something Christ-centered and cross-focused. I think at the very least, that's what it represents. It's uncanny to me, the similarities there, although many of them are entirely coincidental. Next, a comment about confession and absolution.
Hello, I'm calling in regard to the episode on confession and absolution. I'd just simply like to note that I think it's try to be simple and clear about it. I think you're going too far in the comments that your pastors made. There's a really simple and well-written thing that Luther wrote called A Brief Exhortation to Confession. It's at the end of a large catechism. It's noticeably absent in the reader's edition of the Concordia. In it, he spells out very clearly what private confession is, what it looks like, what form it can take. And he outlines three separate options. One is directly the sinner to God. And he says this is what we're doing in the Lord's Prayer. We're bypassing an individual and praying directly to God, and we receive forgiveness. The second option is with a confessor, with a pastor, with a clergy person, as he outlines up there. And the third, he says, is one brother to another. And here's where my issue is. When asked the question whether or not a father can forgive a son or daughter, the answer your pastors gave was pretty opaque. And the Bible is very clear. When a father forgives a son, he's not just saying, I'm forgiving the sins against you. He can very well say, Christian to Christian, Jesus forgives you. The gospel is not simply given to pastors, but given to the entire church to share. And I wish that your pastors were more specific about that very clear point in God's word. Likewise, for a while there, we can make fun of the evangelicals for talking about my walk with Jesus. But in this regard, I would strongly disagree with you. In Luke, there was the tax collector who beat his chest and would not look toward heaven and stood off in the corner and said, have mercy on me. And Jesus did not say, well, first you have to go and talk to your pastor and talk about your sins, and then he's the one who can give you forgiveness. Jesus said it was this man who went away declared not guilty. Those are the comments I'd like to make, and you're welcome to use them on air if you like. And if you want to clarify, and if you think I'm going overboard in what I'm saying, so be it. But what I thought I heard very clearly, I wanted to comment on. And like I said, they're very clearly written little treatise there, A Brief Exhortation to Confession at the end of a large catechism.
Oh, no, the same listener called back again to clarify his earlier comments. Here it is.
Hello, I wanted to respond to my own response that I just spoke a couple minutes ago regarding confession and absolution, two things. One, in my comments I said that God has not given the gospel to pastors, he's given the gospel to the people. And what I meant to say is God has not just given the gospel to pastors, he's also given it to the people in the pews as well. The second thing I'd like to say is private confession is useful. It's a good tool. If you're defining private confession as the pastor and the person. However, as Luther well points out, it's not the only form of private confession. It's very important to understand that. Again, it's useful, but it's not the only form. It can be brother to brother, Christian to Christian. It can also be sinner to Jesus directly. Luther makes that very clear, and of course, God's Word makes that very clear as well. Thank you. Bye.
With the brief time that I'm allowed here, I don't think that the pastors in the round table were trying to exclude the real forgiveness, the real absolution that could be pronounced by a father to a son or a brother to a brother, or to exclude God's forgiveness of the Christian who sincerely prays simply to God. The Bible passages there are just replete. What they were saying is the pastor is the only one who is given to speak in the stead and by the command of Christ with that first-person pronoun, I forgive you all your sins. Lay people certainly can and should say, in Christ you are forgiven all your sins. But they are not authorized, because they are not called and ordained to do so, to speak in the stead and by the command of Christ. All forms of these confession all come with the assurance of Christ's blood shed at the cross for us. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Larry Rast about 13th century princess and philanthropist Elizabeth of Hungary. And also tomorrow we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.